Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Thanks for listening in. My name is Linda Mooney. This are the Worlds of Romance on Blog Talk Radio, and I am just so thrilled tonight. I have back with us Marcia Moore. Hi, Marcia. How are you doing?
Hi, Linda. I'm doing great. I'm glad to be back.
Oh, thank you for coming back, and happy spring. Spring
oh, yeah.
Has sprung. Yes, thank goodness. And all. For those of you who don't know, Marcia is going to be reading from The Witch's Moonstone Locket, which is a Coon Hollow Coven tale. And I was looking at this, and it's in the past you've been with us doing the Enchanted Bookstore Legends, like, you know, Seeking
right.
the Scribe and Lost Volumes and all. Is this a brand new series that you started?
It is.
Because it looks
it
completely
it's
different.
It's a brand new series. I'm so excited about it. I was doing high fantasy with the Enchanted Bookstore Legends, and this is more of a low fantasy set in the real world, at least partly. And I've been wanting to write this series for at least 5 years. I've had it stewing in the back of my mind. And it's the books will stand alone, but in the same setting, and characters will kind of float in and out as from major characters to minor characters. There will be no overall story arc, so readers can pick up at any point in the series.
Out of curiosity, is now, do you know about how many books this is going to take, or is this kind of like out
yes,
open?
Yes, no, then I've got it planned, and I'm aiming to have 8 books and loosely following the major Sabbats, the major Wiccan holidays, and this one is about the Mabon Festival or Mabon Ceremony, and it's not a key feature in the book, but it is happening as part of the plot of the story. It doesn't really drive the books. It just sort of is a framework. And I'm already working on the next one, which will be, you know, the Halloween theme and working on. So,
What is the title of that one?
The tentative title is Witch's Cursed Cabin.
Ooh. A Coon Hollow Coven tale.
Yes, it is. It is. I love the setting of this. It's in southern Indiana, a fictitious area south of Bloomington, and it's where I spent my favorite childhood years. And all of my aunts and uncles had a huge family on both sides with you know, just lots and lots of aunts and uncles. They were all in that area. And so this has a very, very familiar feel to me. A lot of the characters sound like my aunts and uncles. There's a lot of Hoosier dialect, which is very slight.
Yeah.
It's if you're from Indiana, you pick it up. It's not a twang. The words aren't written strangely. It's just more which words are selected. There's a lot of colloquialisms, and it's got a very, very warm, down-home Hoosier kind of feel to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, for those of you who don't know, Marcia loves to write fantasy and paranormal romance, so I'm assuming that this is going to be called the paranormal side
of it.
Yes, it is. You know, much of her life feeds the creative flow that she uses to weave highly imaginative tales. You see, the magic of art and nature often spark life into her writing, as well as watercolor painting and drawing. She's been a yoga enthusiast for over a decade and is a registered yoga teacher. After a move from Toledo to Tampa in 2008, she's a happily transformed Floridian in love with the outdoors. She's crazy about cycling, and she lives with her husband on a large saltwater lagoon where taking her kayak out for an hour or more is a real treat. She never has enough days spent at the beach, usually scribbling away at stories with toes wiggling in the sand. Every day at the beach is magical. Oh, you're going to have to do a series on the beach and maybe include an alligator or two while you're at it.
Ooh.
If you'd like to talk to Marcia, after she gets through reading her excerpt from Witch's Moonstone Locket, You're welcome to call in. The number is 646-727-2932. Or you can come into the chat room. I have the chat room open, and you can listen in there. And if you have a question, just drop it, and I'll drop it off, and I'll be more than happy to ask it for you. Or you can email me your question, linda@lindamooney.com, and I'll pass it along to her. And the reason I was asking, Marcia, if this was looking back on your Enchanted Bookstore books, they had that fantasy feel to them with the drawing on the cover, whereas the Witches one, you went in a completely, you took a 180-degree turn, and you went with live-action shots on these covers, and they're very intriguing. I mean, I don't know who your cover artist is, but, I mean, I look at that and I go, that's different. That's very different.
I do my own art. And I considered doing drawings, like I had done with the characters of the fantasy Enchanted Bookstore Legends, because those all started with hand drawings and then layers of paint, of Photoshop painting. But I decided that regular live photos changed around tremendously. Was what I wanted to do with this. I wanted a bit more realistic feel because it's a real world setting. Although there is a setting within a setting that is very, very magical. It's the actual Coon Hollow Coven, and on the cover you see a an old 1930s roadster sedan, the hood of it, and this coven. Although it is the book is present day, they in the coven adhere to practices, lifestyle of the 1930s when the coven was founded. The belief is that in doing so, they will maintain the purity of transmission of their magic from one generation to the next in the best way by keeping the traditions, the lifestyle of the 1930s. So this small, you know, the coven geographical area, they look in every way, they dress, their cars, their homes are all from the 1930s period.
Mm.
They interact with the rest of the community, but it's, a little bit odd, a little weird. There's, some curiosity on both sides. So,
well, I'm going to turn the floor over to you so you can tell us what this particular book is about and go right on into your excerpt. So take it away, Marcia.
All right. Well, I'm going to be reading the first part of Chapter 1, and it's titled Great Aunt Starla's Cornbread. Yeah, there's that Hoosier feel already. Warm rain mixed with Jancy's tears. And she rose to stand beside her mother's grave. She bent at the waist, and her fingers followed the arc of her mother's name, Faye Sadler, in the headstone. From numerous visits, she knew the unyielding shape well. The word goodbye stuck in her throat. She'd said it aloud many times since her mother died 6 months ago, only to have the cemetery's vast silence swallow her farewells. Rain beaded on the polished granite. Her hand bearing her mother's silver ring slid down the stone and fell to her side. If only she could have said goodbye to her mother before she died. After years of caring for her mom while she suffered with cancer, Jancy had missed the final parting moment while getting a quick bite of dinner. The pain still cut like a knife in her gut. On foot, she retraced the too familiar path toward her work at the Federal Bank. Although she landed a job as a manager at the largest of the three banks in the small town of Bentbone, the position was a dead end. Within the first 6 months, she'd mastered all the necessary skills. Now, after a year, only the paycheck kept her there. Jancy turned onto Maple Street. As usual, wind swept up the corridor between old shade trees protecting houses, and met her at the top of the tall hill, September rain pelted her face and battled the Indian summer noontime temperatures. She zipped the rain parka to keep her dress dry, pulled on the strings of the hood, and corralled strands of ginger-colored hair that whipped into her eyes. She gazed farther into the valley, where the view spanned almost a mile out to the edge of town. Usually farmers moved tractors across the road, or boys raced skateboards and bikes down Maple Street's long slope. Today, on the deserted acreage just east of Bentbone, people moving in and out through a gate of the tall wooden fence breathed life into the rundown carnival. Surprised, Jancy crossed the street for a better view. She'd lost track of life since her mother had passed. The coming Labor Day weekend in Bentbone meant the Valley Coven's yearly carnival. She and her girlfriends always looked forward to the cute guys, fair food, and amazing magical rides and decorations, even if her father didn't approve of witches or magic. The residents of the sleepy town awoke to welcome a host of tourists wanting to see the spectacle created by the witches of Coon Hollow Coven. Somehow Jancy had forgotten the big event this year. Last year she didn't go since Mom was so sick and couldn't be left. Jancy sighed and turned onto the main street toward the bank. She'd lost so much since her mother passed, really since the diagnosis of the cancer. At that time, 4 years ago, Jancy withdrew as a sophomore from Hanover College, a select private school in southern Indiana near the Kentucky border, too far away. Instead, she returned to stay with her mother and commuted to Indiana University, balancing hours with the home health care nurse. Jancy had few choices of career paths. Not that it mattered, since Dad, who was remarried, expected her to find a job in Bentbone and continue taking care of her mother. Despite the sacrifices, Jancy loved her mother, who'd always managed money for a few special things for Jancy: a new bike, birthday parties, prom dresses, even though their income was tight. Mom had paid for her tuition and listened to her every exciting college experience. Jancy smiled at the memory of Mom's twinkling brown eyes that mirrored her own. When she asked about what happened during the day's classes, if Jancy liked the professor, if she'd made new friends. When she rounded the last corner, she returned to her workday. At the bleak limestone bank building, reality hit, pulled against the heavy glass door, and a gust swept her inside. She peeled off the drenched jacket and hung it on the coat rack of her small plain office. Through the afternoon's doldrums, punctuated by only a handful of customers, her mind wandered to the carnival. She'd gone dozens of times before and loved it. But since Mom passed, nothing seemed fun anymore. Like she couldn't connect with herself and had forgotten how to have a good time. She organized a stack of notes, anything to put the concern out of her mind. After work, Jancy drove her old blue Camry the 5 miles to the other end of town where she lived in her mother's white frame house, the home where she grew up, now hers. Glad to own her own place, unlike her friends who rented, she'd made a few easy changes. In the living room, a new brown leather couch with a matching chair and ottoman. She replaced the bedroom furniture with a new oak suite for herself in what used to be her mother's room. With pay saved from the bank, Jancy could remodel or build on, but she didn't know what she wanted yet. Her great aunt Starla had told her to just wait and hold on to her money. She'd know soon enough. Pouring rain soaked the hem of her dress as she darted between the garage shed and back stoop of the small ranch house. Glad she'd chosen to get her run in this morning before work, she changed into cozy sweats, pulled the long part of her tapered hair into a ponytail, and headed for the kitchen. Her phone alerted her of a text, and she read the message from her friend Rochelle, always the social director of their group. "Are we going to the carnival?" she typed her response. "I guess. Are Lizbeth and Willow going?" Yep, whole gang. What day? Don't know yet. Get back to you. Jancy worried she'd spoil their fun, even though they'd all been her best friends since high school and would understand her moodiness, but she didn't want to ruin one of the best times of the year for them. Since Mom passed, they'd taken her out to movies, shopping in Bloomington, but this was different. Could it ever match up to the fun of all the times before? I don't know if I'm up to that, she said into the open door of the old Kenmore refrigerator while rummaging for leftovers of fried chicken and corn. The meal satisfied and made her thankful she'd learned how to cook during those years with Mom. Not enough dishes to bother with the dishwasher, one of the modern upgrades to the original kitchen. Jancy washed the dishes by hand and then called Starla. When she answered, Jancy asked, can I come over tonight? There's something I'm needing your opinion on. Why, sure, Jancy, come on over, the 85-year-old replied with her usual warm drawl. Are you wanting dinner? I made me some soup beans with a big ham bone just butchered from Bob's Hog. My neighbor Ellie came over and had some. She said they were the best she's eaten. Jancy glanced at the soggy rain parka and opted for an umbrella instead. No, I just ate. I'll be right over. Keys and purse in hand, she hung up and darted for the shed. 5 minutes later, she turned onto the drive of the elder care apartments and parked under the steel awning where Starla gave her a whole arm wave from her picture window. Jancy made her way to number 12 on the first floor. The door opened and Starla engulfed Jancy in a bear hug, pulling her into the pillow of a large sagging bosom. Starla smelled of her signature scent, rose water and liniment. Jancy had loved her great aunt's hugs as long as she could remember. Stress and worry melted away, and she hugged back. Her arm grazed Starla's white curls along the collar of her blue knit top, embroidered with white stars, her great aunt's favorite emblem. It's so good to see you. Come sit a spell while I get us some iced tea. Starla pulled away and gestured to the micro suede couch, decorated with three crocheted afghans and a rainbow of colors. I thought we were done with this hot weather, but not quite yet. That rain today has been a gully washer, but didn't cool things off much. The large boned woman scuffed her pink house slippered feet toward the kitchen. Would you rather have pound cake from the IGA or homemade cornbread? Jancy laughed and followed her into the kitchen. She couldn't get through the visit without eating. You're just fishing for a compliment. You know your homemade cornbread is better. Starla arranged plates with thick slices of warm cornbread and big pats of butter on top, while Jancy transferred the refreshments to the aluminum dinette table. With your hair pulled back like that, you're a dead ringer for your ma. So pretty with that same sweetheart-shaped face. Starla folded herself into a chair beside Jancy. You look to be getting on well, considering what all you've been through. I'm doing okay, Jancy said through a mouthful of moist cornbread. She washed it down with a swallow of brisk tea that tasted fresh brewed. But sometimes, lots of times, I feel lost, like I can't move on. She ran a hand across her forehead. I didn't get to say goodbye. I spent time with her through all those years, and it shouldn't matter. But it does every time I visit her grave, and most every night in my dreams. Oh, honey, I know it hurts. Starla smoothed Jancy's ponytail down the middle of her back and spoke with a voice so slow and warm, it felt like a handmade quilt wrapping around her. You spent all that time and gave so much, just like when I cared for my husband some 20 years back. I know, I never got the chance to tell Harry goodbye either. Time will heal all hurts. Jancy looked down at the marbleized tabletop to hide her teary eyes. I don't think I'm ever going to heal, Aunt Starla. I don't know if I can ever move on. There is one thing you can try. I'd have done it, if I'd have known before decades softened my aching heart. Way back, I was desperate like you. Chancey looked into Starla's blue-gray eyes, set deep inside wrinkled lids. Her aunt leaned closer. Not many know about this, she whispered, as if someone outside the apartment door might hear. There's an old story about how a member of the Coon Hollow Coven, one who's recently lost a loved one, is made the teller of the Moonstone Tale. Chancey rolled her eyes. That's just a silly story. One of lots that Mom and Dad told me to scare me when I was little, so I'd stay away from the coven. When the Moonstone Locket opens at the end of the tale, you'll get your wish, but also be cursed. Oh, no. Starla shook her head and pushed away from the table. Let me get Aunt Maggie's old diary. I got this in a box of old family things when Cousin Dorothy passed. She lumbered to the spare bedroom and returned with a worn black leather volume, only a little larger than her wide palm. Once seated, she thumbed through the yellowed pages. Here, she pointed a finger and placed the book between them. That's all I'm going to share now.
Oh, gosh, it's so sad. Oh,
yeah.
And all this. It's just so sad with, you know, losing that. And then, of course, you know, with the locket, she's going to try to see if she can talk with her mother with, you know, and all. But she's going to meet a witch who, and she's going to meet a witch named Ro McCoy.
Yes. Ro McCoy is the current bearer of the Moonstone Locket. He lost his wife. And he's grieving. And so he was appointed to wear the Moonstone Locket. It's an old locket that's passed, well, even before the coven founded, through the generations of those people. And Chancey will seek him out.
Will we find out what's in the locket?
Oh, yes.
To open the locket before she can talk. Okay.
The locket does open.
And I we have a question here from a JU551. Let me see. Do you have a personal interest in witchcraft, or is it just something that fascinates you? How did you that's a good question.
I don't practice witchcraft, but I am very fascinated by it. I love the connection to the elements of nature, the air, earth, fire, and water, the connection to, you know, the cycles of the moon. I enjoy learning how people draw strength from those elements. And I find it fascinating. The research has been truly a joy for this series. And I've expanded my library collection enormously. But I am not a practicing either witch or Wiccan, either one.
Well, I can understand why she asked that question, because most of the time, if you're getting a story about witchcraft, you're getting, like, you know, the bewitched version, version of it. Whereas yours is more along the lines of, how would I put it? Practical Magic, the movie, where they're living in modern day.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I did try to adhere to some tradition, a lot of traditions, but I took some liberties. There are some things that happen that are very fantastical that modern day witches would never be able to do. So I took some liberties, but I did adhere to a lot of tradition. I thought it would be very good to keep it grounded in tradition. And you'll see that the Mabon Festival is very important. The change from one season to the next, for the viewers who do not know, Mabon is the autumn equinox time when we're changing from autumn to winter. And so the change, the idea of change is a theme in this book. And
And I like the fact, though, that it's grounded in more realism, which makes it so that you can almost say, all right, I can relate to these people. Whereas mm-hmm. with your fantasy, mm-hmm. you know, with your fantasy works, it's just pure enjoyment, pure imagination, and you can just kind of get
right.
lost in it. But this,
right.
you can relate with a lot of what's going on with, you know, especially with, I think that's why, you know, you're talking about her mother's death and all, and you're going, it just hits a little bit closer to home. Does that make sense?
Yes. The characters are very real. And my husband, who has been forced to read all of my books, he reads the last copy for typos. Uh-huh. He really is not a fantasy reader at all, and he reads very grudgingly to read for typos. And mm-hmm. this is my ninth book, and he loved this one. And he
Ooh.
Said the characters, you could really feel them. So he's, you know, one of my harshest critics, and so I was very, very happy to have him say that. I have,
and the best, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I've only gotten one review on the book so far because it's releasing tomorrow. The link is live
yes,
tonight.
Yes, I was
going
to say that. It releases tomorrow. It's official
yes.
tomorrow, the 24th. Yay!
mm-hmm.
Is it available for pre-order right now on Amazon?
Actually, it is already available to purchase. In setting up all that technical business, I like to work a day or day and a half ahead in case any computer glitches or whatever. And so
mm-hmm.
the link is actually live now. People can purchase it. But I'm doing, you know, my promotion tomorrow for the release.
Oh, super, super. And she was talking about her books. You can find out all you need to know about all of her books and her short stories. And you do something called Mercantile of Tea Leaf Tales. I thought that was fascinating. I was just looking at that, where you write like 10 sentence short stories based on
right.
photos that fascinated. I thought, that's wonderful. But you can get all of this information at Marsha A. Moore, MOORE.com. And that's it. It links to all of her sites and her books and her blog. And but I thought, what made you do something like that with the tea leaf tales? Is because I thought that kind of fits in
yeah.
with your Coon Hollow Coven, in a way.
It does, and it gives the readers a glimpse into kind of how I see things. My imagination is probably my greatest writing trait,
mm-hmm.
Far and above everything else I work hard at, but that comes easily. And it gives a reader into a glimpse of what I can create in the space of, you know, 15 or 20 minutes. I don't work hard at those because my imagination is just that weird. And I can come up with some very, very odd, all kinds of things, magical realism, speculative fiction, some outright fantasy, just based on a picture and writing 10 sentences.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of fun with those. And readers do love them.
They're great. I'm sitting here looking at some dead flamingos. flamingos, not real birds. The book is called Witches Moonstone Locket. It's a Coon Hollow Coven tale. It's book one. And it's available now. It releases tomorrow, but you can get it now. Marsha, I loved having you on the show. And when Witches Cursed Cabin comes out, come back on the show and let us hear about that one. All right?
I will.
And I, like I said, I love having you on the show. I just never know what you're going to come up with. fascinating to listen to. Well, my name is Linda Mooney. This is Other Worlds of Romance on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for listening in. We'll catch you again next week. In the meantime, happy spring and take care. All right? Good night, everybody. And thanks for listening. And we're done. And I love
that.
I love this new series. This is fascinating.
I'm very excited about it. I've been wanting to write this for a very long time, and it feels very much connected to me. It feels like my family, and it feels like my favorite growing up times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a warmth to it. The characters are very rich and vivid. And
lavender and lemon.
So.
I know. I had a grandmother who smelled like lemon. I know exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, you take care, and thanks again for coming. And I'm look forward to having you back on the show.
I'll be glad to come back.
Good luck with this book and this new series. And like I said, I'm anxious to hear what else you've got going on. 9 books, right?
Eight in the series.
8. Well, so, you never know. It could be a 9th. Anyway,
I've already had an enormous amount of response for this book, so I'm hoping it's a great start to the series. I'm very eager to get this out to the readers.
Yeah. Well, you take care and have a good evening, and let me know if there's anything else I can do for you. All right.
All righty. Thanks, Linda.
All right. Bye, Marcia.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.